One of the highlights of the week is sitting down with an independent bookseller to discuss some great reads that they want to share with Roundtable listeners. So it's a thrill to talk about all of these wonderful books. Lily Bartels is book buyer for the Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery and is here to tell us about all of these wonderful tomes. Lily, good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm fine. Good to hear your voice. Thank you very much for being with us. So how are things going? What's the state of the Open Door Bookstore at the moment? Is the door still open?
The store is not officially open, and of course it can't be. We may be phasing into a partial reopening next week, but of course that will still include probably only what we've been doing while the store has been closed, which is curbside delivery, fulfilling orders through email, through phone conversations, and then as our region opens up a little bit more, eventually we'll have people back in the store, of course, again at some time. It's hard to say on a day-to-day basis what that will look like, but for now, we are serving our customers, we are staying connected to the community, and our customers actually have been very loyal. It's been gratifying.
Well, that's wonderful. And in the meantime, there's many books to pick up and read and to while away some quarantine time. So where would you like to begin?
I want to start with a new novel called Boys of Alabama by Genevieve Hudson. This is a very special coming-of-age novel that is threaded through with magical realism and can plausibly fall into the Southern Gothic category. The story takes us through 16-year-old Max's first year in America, where he has immigrated with his parents from Germany to the Deep South. And he's adjusting to a very foreign culture while he's navigating his sexuality. He's questioning his faith. He's trying to make friends. He's trying to fit in. And in addition to all that, Max has the power to resurrect birds and plants from the dead. He already feels very othered as a queer boy, and this power to him feels like one more thing that stands in the way of his desire to just be quote-unquote normal. So the reader can see the irony of this is that while Max is desperately searching for something external to heal him, he has the power to heal literally in his own hands. So this story blurs the line between the mystical and the real in a way that's similar to what Alice Hoffman's novels do, but the characters themselves feel very real. I would describe it as a little Southern Gothic, a little supernatural, a deep dive, a deep exploration of what it means to be a boy in America. It's also a queer love story about longing and belonging, and it's told with a wonderful amount of skill and imagination and tenderness.
The name of the book is Boys of Alabama. Okay, next.
Next is Nothing is Wrong and Here is Why by Alexandra Petrie, who has become a wildly popular Washington Post columnist who turns out a whopping 5 columns a week for the newspaper. Petrie is a humorist and a satirist on what is an otherwise very serious op-ed page. And this new book of essays compiles her funniest columns of the past 5 years. And as you read them, it becomes evident why she has emerged as the preeminent political satirist of her generation. I've seen her described as a hybrid of Irma Bombeck and Molly Ivins, and I think that's pretty on the mark, and that's high praise indeed, really. I love this quote from her. "My dream was to write dystopian horror novels, but then reality took a turn and I didn't have to quit my day job." She has a devastating wit, I know, right? And a first-rate intelligence and terrific insight, and all of that combined makes for right-on-the-mark commentary on what I would call the routine horrors of our current hellscape. She also says that when things are as insane as they are right now, if you just actually describe the reality as it is, you wind up with something that looks much more like a humor column and feels like the heightened version of the thing you would make up, like an onion headline. So,
the name of the book is Nothing is Wrong and Here is Why by Alexandra Petrie. Okay, next.
The Louvre, The Many Lives of the World's Most Famous Museum by James Gardner. This is a really comprehensive and fascinating and little known history of the Louvre, from its origins as a fortress to its transformation into the palace of French kings, to its current state as a global cultural and historical icon. It's an often turbulent story. I found it completely engrossing and eye-opening. And for a history, it's a very fast-moving narrative that shows how the evolution of the Louvre reflects the political, intellectual, and aesthetic history of France, with lots of rich detail. To read that where it now sits was once a campground 7,000 years ago is pretty stunning. And Gardner also shows us how the building itself is every bit as spectacular as all the treasures that it holds. If you love art or history or architecture or all things French, this is a must read for you.
Beautiful book, The Louvre by James Gardner. Okay.
John Kenny is a Thurber Prize winning poet who's had two volumes of poems, Love Poems for Married People and Love Poems for People with Children, on the bestseller list. And now he comes with a hilarious new collection of poetry, Love Poems for Anxious People, which, believe it or not, went to press before the onset of the pandemic, but is perfect for this time of off-the-charts worry and uncertainty and doubt. So he covers areas like awkward first dates, to nerve-wracking small talk at a party, to a failed attempt at befriending the cool hipster barista. I think these poems are solid gold. And Joe, if I may, I want to read one of them to you that I think is perfect for our segment this morning.
All right, please do.
And it's called Ode to All Things Considered. Oh, Ari Shapiro, and here I thought we were friends. I have some news for you. Do you know what's not news to me? The news. See what I did there? You are no fun anymore, you bearer of relentless awfulness. Hurricane, flood, tsunami, glaciers and global and warming, polls and partisans and politics. Do you think those stories make me feel good? They don't. I don't feel well at all, Ari. My doctor has advised me to stop all news intake. I don't think you folks consider all things, just bad things. Maybe consider some other things, like donuts or kites or vodka. Vodka is nice to consider. Do 3 hours on vodka. God knows I have, and it's not even noon. Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ari Shapiro, and this is All Vodka Considered. Next night is whiskey, then Wellbutrin. Help me, Ari. You and Nina and Lakshmi and Audie and that other guy whose name no one knows, I don't feel well. No one does. Be my Tom Cruise to your Cuba Gooding Jr. Help me help you. Will you consider it?
That's great. John Kenny is the author. Love Poems for Anxious People. A fine reading, too, Lily. Very nicely done.
Fun to do.
Yes. All right.
The Ultimate Book of Scavenger Hunts by Stacy Tornio. This actually, I think, is a really apt and great idea for right now, when we're all really jonesing to get out of our homes, get outside, maybe interact with nature a little bit. So if you give kids a list of things to find, they naturally want to turn it into a game and start checking things off. And if you add in an outdoor and nature component, it takes the game to a whole new level. And it's an amazing opportunity to engage kids and families with nature in a whole new way. So the Ultimate Book of Scavenger Hunts can help turn all of your outdoor outings into a scavenger hunt with plenty of things for your family to look for, to discover, to learn about. And it's for families with kids ages about 4 to 10. And the hunts are geared to just about any location, your backyard, your neighborhood, your city or town, and then beyond that to the beach or the mountains or whatever other social distancing place you can find. And it includes a leveled rating system, so you can find both easy and difficult items within each hunt. So, for instance, one being easy, two medium, three hard. And each hunt also comes complete with factoids and information about the items on the list. And each item is accompanied by a colorful spot illustration. So so that the hunter can easily identify what they're looking for. Oh, and I also want to point listeners to Stacy Tornio's website, which is hashtag outside.com. She's got a terrific collection of nature-related do-it-yourself projects, ways of learning about nature, family gardening, everything for families to do outdoors. Perfect for right now.
The Ultimate Book of Scavenger Hunts by Stacy Tornio. All right.
Lastly, another novel, The Silent Treatment by Abby Greaves. This tells the story of a couple named Frank and Maggie, who, by all appearances, share a happy, loving marriage of several decades. But for the past 6 months, they haven't spoken. Not a sentence, not a single word. And Maggie isn't sure what exactly provoked Frank's silence, though she has a few ideas. Day after day, they've eaten meals together and slept in the same bed in an increasingly uncomfortable silence that now become unbearable for Maggie. Then Frank finds Maggie collapsed in the kitchen, unconscious, with an empty bottle of sleeping pills on the table. She's rushed to the hospital. She's placed in a medically induced coma while the doctors can assess the damage. And if she regains consciousness, she may never be the same. And even though Frank is overwhelmed at the thought of losing his wife, he struggles with finding his voice once again. Will he be able to? Will he be able to explain his withdrawal to Maggie, or is it too late? You know, I think I found this a very intimate, emotional story that peels back the layers of this longstanding relationship and unpacks Maggie and Frank's secret self. The story didn't go exactly where I expected it to go, but it maintains a growing suspense that's pretty gripping from the first page, and that eventually leads to an ultimate reveal of a tragic miscommunication in a broken family. I found this deeply moving and really impressively confident writing for a debut novel. Strongly recommend.
It is The Silent Treatment by Abby Greaves. All right, anything else you'd like to share with us?
I think that's good for now. I'm looking forward to getting back into the groove of bringing new books into our store and getting the gears, you know, beginning to turn again. And that's what I do. So I'm looking forward to being able to get back in the swing of things.
Well, we hope for that and for it to come soon. And we thank you for the picks for this morning. For more information on the Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery in Schenectady and the great work they do, you can go to their website, WAMC.org. Go to our website, I'm sorry, WAMC.org/roundtable. And your website is Open Door Bookstore.
It's Open Door Dash bookstore.com.
opendoor-bookstore.com. All right. Well, Lee Bartels, thank you very much for joining us. Always a pleasure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.